Welcome to the Conservative Liberal. We're in week 3008. That's the way we do things around here. We do everything by the week. Change things up a little bit. I don't know if you've listened to some previous shows. Hope you have. We're going to try to, you know, keep improving our format here. Keep you, the listener, interested in what I have to say. Steve Heller here, coming to you live from Malibu, California. Wonderful place to be. If you've never been here, you should check it out. Eh, maybe not. There's enough people here. I don't know. I'm not really into the crowd, so take everything I said back. You don't want to be here. It's not that nice. All right. Anyways, let's see here. I'm going to start talking about the highlights of the week, things that stand out in my mind that have hit me this week that I think needs to be brought to your attention. We have a situation here where we have a presidential candidate growing abroad, doing his world tour thing like he's some kind of rock star, and I think you know who I'm talking about, Mr. Obama here. Let's see, thing that stands out most in my mind is that he went to France and Germany and with a kind of a mindset that he was like the appeasement speech. I mean, it was so weak. The things, the highlights that I've heard. Now, I wasn't there, I didn't hear the whole thing, and I don't like to take anybody out of context, but, you know, sometimes you can just get a general feel for how things are going by just some of the things that people are saying. If you've ever, just kind of a strange analogy would be, if you've ever been to a Little League tryout, you know, where you're seeing kids play, and You know the kid. You know the players. You know the kids that can play. And you know the kids that can't. You know, it's like anything. You know, you don't have to see every single movement that somebody does or every single thing that somebody says to know what they're about. You can get a general idea. You know, this whole speech and this whole thing of him talking about, you know, that we all got to get along, like coming from the old Rodney King speech. You know, we all just can't get along. And to go to Germany and France, who haven't even contributed anything that I know of, that I'm aware of, please somebody correct me if I'm wrong, to help us with this war on terror. You know, that's the problem with, you know, being a liberal or being a conservative is, you know, you get labeled. And, you know, everybody has their own real feelings about how they think about things. I'm sure there are liberals out there that would agree that terrorists are a real threat. They do real harm. They do real bad things. But maybe they're just not that outspoken about it. I don't believe there's any conservatives that would feel that a terror is a good thing. They know that we got to go after them and kill every single one of them. But you know, I think what happens on the liberal side is they fall into this trap. Well, you know, they have the right to defend themselves, and they're you got to feel sorry for them, and you know, we're the big bullies, and we've been taking advantage of them. You know, you got to get away from that, folks. That's not real. That's not reality. Go back in time to World War II. The Nazis were they there was no feeling sorry for them, and they wanted to take over the world. They wanted everybody to be like them, and that's the same mindset as this Islamic fascist people have. I don't want to call them people, but that's what they have. This is what's inside their souls, to their very core of their beings. And we've got to do serious things to keep watchful and mindful of the kind of people that are probably already here in our country, already wreaking havoc on our cities, or who knows what they've got planned to make things even worse. I mean, there was a man out there who killed his two daughters because they broke some kind of Quran law. It's right here in our country, right here in Texas, they did that. I don't mean to be getting away from the Obama thing. What I think is, when you go to those countries and you don't go there as a commander, not as just someone who wants to be a friend and give a friendly speech and show love and let's have hugs and kisses, but somebody as a commander, who's a leader, who's going to take charge and do something drastic to take care of this problem. Not admitting that we're America and we're sorry and we've done bad things. No, we got nothing to be sorry for, folks. We have we're the most generous people in the world. If there's catastrophes all over this world, who's the first out there? We are. I don't see anybody from around the world trying to help us when we had the Katrina thing or the World Trade Center thing. I mean, you know, it's just that, you know, everybody's out for themselves around the world, and then they expect us from the United States to go out there and help them too. You know, we'd like a little help too from around the world. We'd like to get a little support too. We want to think that people like us. Do we really care at this point? You know, the economy, the banking, the mortgages, this country has got some deep issues. And we've got to pull back on where we decide who we're going to help. Can't just have an open checkbook, folks. That checkbook's got to be for the people here. Let's see here. You know, what I like to do here is I play excerpts from my fellow talk show hosts. A few on the, mostly on the conservative side, because I think those guys have the right idea. There's a couple on the liberal side. It's just that when I play the guys on the liberal side, they're just so boring. They're so empty. There's no substance. And I usually don't play too much of that because you guys will just fall asleep out there anyway. And then I finish off with some religious points of views, because I think that's important, a good way to go in the end here is to, when you speak of the end, and we all are going to have our end. I think when you end a show, I think you need to bring it on a, try to be in an uplifting way. And I think the most positive, uplifting way of life or thinking is in a religious point of view, in a godly manner. Let's see, what else is on my mind here? Well, I think we should go to an excerpt, and then we'll go, we'll try to rip that apart here, see if we can dissect that, and then we'll cover some other subjects today. Here we go.
All right, we got two more sound bites. Andrea Mitchell, NBC, very liberal reporter, is teed off because she can't get close to Barack Obama. Roll tape.
As a reporter, I have to tell you, as a journalist, I can't take validation from what we're seeing. The reason those pictures are so grainy is that our camera people didn't shoot them. They were shot, you know, by the military, fed by the military. Not that they don't have great picture takers there, too, but there are no journalists with him.
Okay, so she's a little teed off. She went all the way over there, 115 degrees, and she can't get close to him. And finally, John McCain is doing some interviews and this and that, saying, look, Obama doesn't know what he's talking about and all of that. But the most interesting thing was a negative campaign ad seen on television. Roll tape.
Barack Obama never held a single Senate hearing on Afghanistan. He hasn't been to Iraq in years. He voted against funding our troops, positions that helped him win his nomination. Now Obama is changing to help himself become president. John McCain has always supported our troops and the surge that's working. McCain, country first.
I'm John McCain and I approve this message.
Okay, so they're basically saying that he doesn't know what he's doing and he's just now getting in the game, and McCain knows a lot more than he does. Now, you can make up your own mind about that.
Well, Mr. Bill O'Reilly, that is not... You know, you're trying to make him look bad. I don't think that's the way you make someone look bad, when you point out that they're trying to change their way of thinking. And I think that's what it's all about here in the world. I think that's the problem with most people, is people don't want to change. People, they're obstinate. They stick to their guns, and maybe they're wrong, and they're not open-minded enough to think that maybe they got to look a little deeper and find out that there's... there's improvements to be made in their own world, in their own being. If he sees things, Mr. Obama, if he sees things that mistakes he's made, and he's open enough to think, well, hey, you know what? Maybe I was wrong, and admit that. That's character. That's unbelievable character. So you're not going after the right things here. I think you got to go after the things he says, not the things that he's done or the things that he wants to do. That, I mean, what's done is done, and what someone wants to do, if it's a good thing, then it's a good thing. It's not like he wants to do something bad. If he wants to do something bad, then hey, point that out. But if he wants to do something better, and he agrees with certain things, policy changes, well, that makes him a better person. So trying to make that as some kind of flaw, I think it's going to backfire on you, Mr. O'Reilly. So, and as far as, pointing out that one of their own people had a problem with, getting close to the guy, like making it seem like he's just so hard to get to. Now, there's plenty of pictures out there of this guy. So, you know, that's just weak. Anyways, let's go on to another excerpt, and then we'll get into some more of my some of the subjects that have on my mind this week. Here we go. Let's find something else here.
And that is why now they say up to one out of 160 children are autistic. This is an hysteria, in my opinion. What is the autistic spectrum? Well, what if your child has a very high IQ? What if your child is simply late in talking? Well, they fall into the characteristics, and they would go onto the checklist for autism. They would be invited to be treated. Now, what do you mean by the autistic spectrum? Well, what if you wore glasses? Should you be included in the blindness spectrum? What if you had moles on your face? Should your moles and you be included on the cancer spectrum? Autism is very serious. Blindness and cancer are very serious. But to use definitions that make the situation impossible to be accurately diagnosed is an insult to the truly ill. So these loose definitions of autism are what we are talking about. Many parents, by the way, have told Thomas Sowell that they were urged to let their children be labeled autistic. Did you know that? Many parents told Thomas Sowell in his article, he says this, let your child be labeled autistic, or let them be put on the autistic spectrum. Why? In order to get money for speech therapy or other conditions from grants that are available to deal with autism. There is much more that needs to be said, that will be said today and tomorrow on the Savage Nation. I am going to stick to my original statement. There is no autism epidemic. There is no autism epidemic. Autism, in its true form, is a tragedy for the child and the parents.
One of the ways people make it in the world here today is to be controversial. And I don't think that Michael Savage needs to be controversial because he's already a very successful guy. But I guess everybody could use a little bit more money, as a famous actor Jack Nicholson once said. The thing about what I think where Michael went wrong in this whole thing, in this whole debacle over this horrible disease that some children are afflicted with, is that he went after the kids more than he went after the parents, and more so not after the drug companies. It's a touch and go situation when you start pointing fingers at parents and saying to parents that they're bad parents. But I think that's where he was going with that, and I think that probably is a good thing. I think our parenting as skills have probably depleted a little bit. I think we're too much trying to be friends with our kids than trying to be parents with our kids. I don't know when this all started. Probably in the 80s and the 90s, when all this TV and video games came along, and we had built-in babysitters, and then freed us up to do other things. And the kids started going kind of crazy. And then we decided, well, in order to get along with our kids, I think we'll just be friends with them. And that's all wrong, folks. We gotta, you gotta be the disciplinary of the kids. You gotta set them straight. I think that, opening up the doors to this labeling of autism is all stemmed from the drug companies trying to make a buck. And that's where you gotta point your finger, more so than the parents. I think everybody's to blame in this. I mean, it's obviously not the children. But there's levels of where you point your fingers. And I think that when you go too hard on the kids and telling the kids that they need to straighten up, you can't go after the kids. Because first of all, Michael, the kids don't listen to your show. They're not listening to the show. So you can talk, thinking you're talking to kids, but you're not. You're talking to the parents. And if you're talking to parents, boy, you've got to handle it like kid gloves because, parents, the last thing parents want to hear is how bad they are at being parents. That is the last thing. So it's a fine line there. But if it was up to me, I'd go after the parents and tell the parents to look, boys got to be boys and girls got to be girls. I think that's what it's you know, that, those are the basics. Those are the fundamentals. And I know you're liberals here. You like to, you know, blur the lines there. You like to everybody just kind of be the same. I don't agree that with that at all. That's a big problem. You can't blur the lines between male and female. You can't do that. But that's what liberals like to do. But I'd be going after the drug companies because, boy, they make a lot of money with the, you know, and go after the doctors because they get their kickbacks and their grants and their funding and whatever they need from the drug companies. So that's where the fight needs to be taken, folks. So just got to be careful with our words out there. But let's face it, folks, that's how we make it in the world. We do things, we say things to be controversial, to show, to, you know, to have aware, to get people to be aware of the things around them. And that's why you listen to this show, because you're trying to figure out what the hell I'm talking about. You know, sometimes I don't even know what I'm talking about, but you know, I'll be honest with you. That's okay. It's okay to sometimes not know what you're talking about. Just as long as you're talking about something and hopefully somebody's listening to you, you know. But the thing is, mostly, if you mostly know what you're talking about, that is what is going to keep people interested in you. Is they're going to be listening to you because they're going to think that you're knowledgeable, because let's face it, that's what people want. They want to listen to somebody who they think is just as smart as them or smarter than them. Because the people want to learn. They want to better themselves. And you parents out there, I know you want to better yourselves. But you got to get tough with your kids. And if you think your kid's got a real problem, then you know what? You do everything you can to get that kid the proper help. But boy, I would tread lightly on drugs, getting kids in drugs. It's not a good thing. All right, let's find another excerpt here. As a matter of fact, that was one of the stories I was going to lead in with today, but fortunately I found an excerpt of it and I was able to cover it. So let's see what else we got. Here we go.
Here are a few of the facts published by Lord Monckton, who has, by the way, challenged Al Gore to numerous debates. Al Gore refuses. Al Gore will not debate this with anybody. The UN's 2007 climate summary overstated CO2's impact on temperature by 500 to 2,000%. CO2 enrichment will add little more than 1 degree Fahrenheit, 0.6 degrees centigrade, to the global mean surface temperature by 2100. That's infinitesimal. None of the three key variables whose product is climate sensitivity can be measured directly. The UN's values for these three key variables are taken from only 4 published papers, not 2,500 papers. The UN's values for each of the three variables, and hence for climate sensitivity, are overstated. Global warming halted 10 years ago. Surface temperature has been falling for 7 years, which we've documented with the satellite temperature charts that we put on the website. Not one of the computer models relied on by the UN predicted so long and rapid a cooling. The UN inserted a table into the scientist's draft, overstating the effect of ice melt by 1,000%. It was proved 50 years ago that predicting climate more than 2 weeks ahead is impossible. Mars, Jupiter, Neptune's largest moon, and Pluto warmed at the same time as Earth warmed. The only common factor is the sun. In the past 70 years, the sun was more active than at almost any other time in the past 11,400 years, based on a number of research data of things on Earth.
See what you do, Rush. You act like you're some kind of scientist reading all these reports and, you know, getting these all this information and data from, you know, scientists around the world to try to, make Al Gore look like a buffoon. Well, you know what? Those of us who think Al Gore is a buffoon, and I am one, we'll make up our own minds. They're not going to listen to you because you're going to think that your take on it is going to be biased. Because that's what you do. You're going after them in a biased way. What you have to focus on, folks, is what I think is, you could say, well, maybe there is global warming. I mean, you can look at the ice caps. You can, you see what's going on in the world and you say, you know, maybe there is some kind of problem out there. So, but what it's up to us to do something about it individually. You know, to take responsibility. With this whole carbon footprint thing, try to minimize it however we can. But also, at the same time, we still want to enjoy our lives. Okay, so there's that fine line where we're going to just be either fanatical about it, and in a perverted way, we're not even going to be ourselves, or we're going to say, you know what, we'll do what we can. I'm not going to throw garbage out on the street. I'm not going to spill garbage in the water. You know, that's called being environmentally sound. I mean, you're someone who cares about the environment. You care about, you know, what you're gonna, you know, what you're putting, like your whole, yourself, your being, your own environment is your own being, what you put in yourself. I mean, you know, sometimes you want to have a drink. Yeah, maybe sometimes you maybe want to have a cigar. These things aren't good for you, but sometimes you do it because you enjoy it. And, you know, being human is one of those things that allows us, God gave us free will to do the things and make choices that are, sometimes we know they're not real good for us, but it's something that we do because we enjoy. We don't want to hurt our planet. We don't want to do anything that we're not really supposed to do. And if we all could just be mindful of that fact, then we'll, you know, things do look a lot better to me. I don't see as much garbage out there. You know, I see a lot of, you know, when I drive by people's neighborhoods and I'm out and about, I'm seeing people with their, you know, they got the recycle can now and the where the place to put the leaves, and they got the can for the garbage or whatever. That's good. We're doing, all of us are playing our part in that when we do things like that. And there are those of us who, you know, not me, but I mean people in general who say, you know what, I want a hybrid, or I want an electric car, I want to, you know, that's good. But I mean, look, if you listen to any of my previous shows, you'll know that I'm adamant about any kind of government transportation. I think those got to be hydrogen cells or electric. You can't be using oil to make deliveries. Okay, but oil, I mean, because obviously we're going to run out of it someday, so it just should be for the chosen few who can afford it, because it's going to be expensive, folks. It's a limited resource, and anytime you have a limited resource, it's going to be expensive. And, you know, and when the technology gets there that they make electric cars that can do what a Porsche or a Corvette can do, believe me, there are going to be people standing in line to buy those things. I think there's a couple of cars out there that come close, but they're kind of cheesy, folks. So, I mean, nothing to do with the manufacturers, you know, but if you compare that to a Ferrari or anything like that, or, you know, a Cadillac or something like that, you know, there's nothing like that right now. But the technology will hopefully move that way. But anyways, back to what I was saying before. You know, you got to get down in the center. You got to know that people are going to be who they are, and they're going to just do what's good for them. And hopefully when they're doing that, they'll take everything into consideration. And that's where you gotta talk to people. That's the way you gotta talk to people. You can't just say, this guy's wrong, and then there's global warming, and everything, go ahead and do whatever you want. No, you can't take that attitude. There's too many people now on this earth to take that attitude. Now, if there was maybe a billion people on this planet, there's plenty of resources for, and anybody maybe could do anything they want. And the earth would last, you know, so long, and there'd be oil for millenniums of years. But that's not the way it is. There's 7-8 billion people on this planet. We all gotta play our part. Okay, here we go. Let's find another excerpt here.
You have to find the balance between spiritually being led to be free, because I want that, Sybil, and I can hear it in your voice that you love to dance, and that brings great joy.
Yeah, it does.
That does, absolutely, and I don't want to take that away from you. But I also want you to have some discernment, and when it's appropriate, or if it's distracting, or if you're in a church that has gotten so spiritually minded that they're no earthly good. They don't have the grounding to really propel the gospel to the next level or to teach people. They're just kind of letting Christians come in and be nutty unto God. And there's churches that do laughing in the spirit and all these things that are just, they can be distracting. And they can be confusing to somebody who's not a believer. And not that that is the total standard, but you know, if you cause people to stumble, you're accountable for that.
Folks, we're coming to the end, but I'm going to cover some few things before we do sign off. I just want to say that, you know, when you're getting advice from your religious people or your you know, your priests, your pastors, your rabbis, Dr. Phil, Dr. Laura, you know, just be careful out there because these people really don't know you. You know, that's what they do. They're experts at listening to, you know, a quick, you know, excerpt of what's going on in your life, and then they, you know, they're making their judgments on what they think you should do. You know, people, nobody really knows you but you. So before you make any decisions, you really have to talk to a lot of different people about that kind of thing. You know, your friends, your family, talk to yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Spend an hour in front of your mirror and just talk to yourself. I'm not saying that I do that, but I recommend that, that you at least find somebody that you're close to that you can share things with. I don't know if therapists, you know, they sometimes have their ways of looking at things. But I think the best thing is to try to find somebody, you know, that you're close to, that you've spent a lot of time with, years with, that can really shed some light. But make sure that you make your own final decision, because you just never know. You could think that someone's very close to you, and but they have other motives. They could be jealous. You know, you never know. You never know. That's why you have to make your own choices, folks. Sometimes it's very hard, and you want somebody to make the decisions for you, but it's not going to happen. You have to be the one, because you know you're the one that's going to, either profit from that decision in a positive way or a negative way. So, you know, it's best to make your own decisions. Let's just cover a few of the things that have happened this week that I haven't touched on yet. Let's see. Bail out the banks. You know, that's an economy thing. I don't think that we need to let the chips fall. You know, I mean, I run a business. I don't know if the people out there run businesses, but, you know, nobody's bailing me out. I mean, you know, maybe if in trouble, I might be able to get a loan from a bank, but then they would look and they would see, well, you know, we're not going to be able to give you this loan because we can see things are not going well. And then what? That's it for me. So, you know, you keep loaning from, who are we loaning from? Where's the money from to loan to bail these people out? It's all from us, folks. It's our future debt. That's what it's all about. We need to let the chips fall where they, and let the people take over who know what the heck they're doing. You take a person who bought a house, they lose that house. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to let that person stay in that house for, you know, pennies on the dollar? I don't understand. I'm not paying pennies on the dollar to stay in my house. I have to pay my full mortgage. No one's doing me any favors. So I don't think that's a fair system. It's all got to be fair. You know, that's the way the American system works. It's all about capitalism, not about socialism and people having to run to the rescue for every single person out there. You know, we can't afford to do that. Can you afford to support all the illegal immigrants coming in this country? I don't think so, but that's what the government's trying to make us do. Speaking of which, bring us to the next story of illegal immigration. You have some gang members that shouldn't be here that are getting safe havens out there in San Francisco that have killed an entire family. What is going on? Where is our government? Where is our politicians that are supposed to be protecting us? And going in there and getting rid of these people and not allowing these people to have safe havens anywhere. These people are guilty of crimes. First of all, they should be put to death. It depends on the crime, but I mean, you kill a whole family, obviously you just get the death penalty. I'm a big advocate of that. And then send them back to their own country if you're not sure. I don't know. If they're gang members or they're here illegally, get them out of here. No safe havens, folks. I don't want anybody, illegal immigrants, living off of my dollar. I don't know about you, but that's, you know, I mean, we all work hard for our own dollars. We want to give it, you know, support our streets, our taxes, our schools, and our own families. Not a bunch of strangers. Not a bunch of criminals. All right, so let's see. There was a hole in a jet coming from Qantas Airlines. A terrorist. You know, I'm tired of everybody thinking, oh, it's an accident. Like, just say what it is. A bomb blew off. Something happened. Someone tried to bring a plane down and try to find out who did it. Let's just get real about it. I'm tired of all the cover-ups. Let's see here. Oh, they just passed the trans fat thing out in California. No more trans fat. You know what? Enough with the big brother looking and telling me what I can't eat, what I can't smoke, what I can't drink. You know, I want to make my own decisions. If I want a big, juicy, fattening piece of greasy chicken, I want to be able to get that. I don't have to go to the next state or the next country to get that. So if somebody is serving that, at least I think that there should be probably a truth in labeling law to let us know what we're eating. But enough of the policing of what we're eating here. That's crazy already. Then I want to leave off on a thing that I heard the other day from one of the guys I respect out there. There's a great pastor. His name is Mr. Paul Shepherd. He just had a whole subject matter of patience. It was beautiful. I wish everybody in the world could have heard this. Unfortunately, I think it's probably just the religious people that turn into these stations. I think, you know, certain things should become mainstream. When the subject matter is that powerful and that people can really get something out of it, I'm talking about the general public can really get something out of it, I think we've got to find a way to get people to tune into this. So that's why I'm bringing it up. Patience, how important that is and how hard it is, folks. So with everything you do in the world, try to be patient about it. I know that, you know, the technology has made everything, you know, we're able to get things done a lot quicker, so we can do this and we can do that. We just need to slow down, folks. That's what we need to do. We need to slow down, think about who we are, what we're about, and what we're going to do next. And hopefully, tune into the next show. God bless. We'll see you next time. The Conservative Liberal, out.